The Oregon House now controls the fate of Senate Bill 576, more commonly known as Kaley's Law. Kaley Sawyer was a Central Oregon Community College student who was raped and murdered several years ago. The law named for her is meant to remove some of the circumstances that contributed to her death. The Senate passed it last week 29-0. Senator Floyd Prezonsky, a Democrat from Eugene, District 4 if you're counting, is one of the two main Senate sponsors of the bill. The other is Senator Tim Knopf of Bend. Let's hear more about the bill and the passage in the Senate. Floyd Prezonsky, thank you for joining us today.
Jeff, thank you very much for having us. Yeah, you're correct. The Kaley's Law, which is Senate Bill 576, did in fact pass unanimously off the Senate floor, also out of my Judiciary Committee that I have the opportunity to chair. This is a bill that what we're attempting to do is bring back certain powers that had been established for special campus safety officers as well as private security, and trying to ensure that we have the best format and opportunity to provide a safe place and procedures in place for officers who might be dealing with students on campus.
So, yeah, the capsule description provided by, I think it's the Oregonian, says that SB 576 would require that colleges with campus security officers ensure they can be easily distinguished from law enforcement. So some backstory is needed here. What were the circumstances within Kaley Sawyer's death that prompted this?
Unfortunately, Kaley Sawyer had been out earlier in the evening, and she was had some frustrations or an argument with a boyfriend. And as she was walking on the street, a special campus security officer pulled up behind her, and the vehicle that time looked and resembled very similar to any law enforcement vehicle. He encouraged her to take a ride from him to get her back to where she was residing. Unfortunately, his intent was not to get her back to where she resided, but in fact commit this horrific crime against her, including rape and murder. What we are trying to do is ensure that the individuals that are serving as special campus safety officers, or if there's a private security that's hired contract by the university to provide these services, that they are distinctly different in the way they dress and the equipment they have access to from sworn police officers.
I know people are wondering what the disposition of the case was. Edwin Lara, who was the campus security officer in this case, entered a guilty plea and got life in prison. When you look at the circumstances of this case, I mean, was he wearing a uniform that looked like a police? You mentioned the car for certain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
the uniform that was being used at the time, and I'm not sure if they've modified their uniforms yet, but looked very similar to the Bend Police Department. We had testimony from the chief of police, as well as the district attorney for Deschutes County, regarding some of the situations. This was a scenario that the vehicles themselves, as I said, appeared to be like law enforcement vehicles. They had a strike bumper on the front, red and blue overhead lights, emblems that resembled looking like a law enforcement emblem on the vehicle, and the uniforms were very similar in nature. So what we want to do, again, is to ensure that they are easily differentiated from the uniforms that are worn by law enforcement officers, and also that it promptly dispels that it's just campus security, and they can't use terminology that would be similar to what you might see law enforcement use in their uniforms and their equipment.
I notice there's even a mention in this particular section of the bill about prominent designation of campus security or prominent use of a school logo or school color. So we're talking about people would really not look like police if this gets final passage.
That's correct. One of the things that we looked at some years back, I had the opportunity to work with establishing the ability for universities in the state of Oregon to actually have sworn police departments, just like any city has. And in doing so, we wanted to ensure that there was some differences as to how individuals are perceived. And what we found out is that it was very important for the general public to actually be able to see someone face-to-face and identify them based on the type of uniform they might be wearing. And so we've encouraged, especially in the university setting, that they should be using school colors for their uniforms and or logos that are very similar to what they use as their mascots or other emblems of identification.
So, Senator Przanski, how extensive did you have to make the provisions in the bill to consider all of the things that people might take to assume that somebody is a police officer, but you don't want them to? I mean, it seems like you had to deal with a whole bunch of different attributes to uniforms and equipment and cars.
Yes, we did. And what we did is we had a work group that met during the interim period prior to session that went on for a little over 6 months and had at least two meetings that were held out in Bend for the different interested parties to get together. And we brought a lot of different people together that had different interests in this issue. Besides just law enforcement, students were also involved in. For those who are interested in this, if they go on to the OLIS, which is the Oregon Legislative Information System, they can read some of the testimony that came in by going to that and looking up the Senate Bill 576. And what we took away from that, it was important to ensure not only the prohibitive use of red and blue light bars on the top, the ramming of the bumpers, as I mentioned, but also not allowing for what is known as cages within the back compartment of the vehicle, where when a individual is being transported by law enforcement, it's not uncommon for them to be basically secured within that area. This is one of the unfortunate things that happened to Kaylee, is that the vehicle that she was placed in did in fact have a cage and could not be opened from the inside out, the doors, and she was not able to make any type of passage through the break point between the where the driving compartment is and the passenger compartment. So we're prohibiting those type of features in these cars that are not used by sworn police officers.
Senator Floyd Przanski of Eugene is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of the major sponsors of Senate Bill 576 that passed 29-0 last week. It is also called Kaylee's Law because it memorializes Kaylee Sawyer, who was raped and murdered by someone who was a security officer at Central Oregon Community College but looked like a police officer, so the bill differentiates between them. If you have questions and comments to share here on the Jefferson Exchange, by all means, give us a call at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Senator Przanski, is there anything in the bill directed at the job requirements or background checks for campus security officers?
Absolutely. On the very front end, what we want to ensure is that the individuals actually can pass the background check. So we're requiring a full nationwide background check, not just a state one, because what we've found is that individuals that may be in other states that do not work out in unemployment and security positions may, in fact, move to Oregon. So we want to ensure that's occurring. We're also requiring that there's a psychological review testing of the individuals if they're employed by the public university. And the other part I think that we're trying to ensure is this kind of goes back to the cars, and one of the unfortunate things in Kaylee's case was there's no correspondence or communication requirements regarding the vehicle itself in the sense of having any type of onboard camera, GPS, or having a dispatch center that works 24/7 that can keep in contact and knowing where these security officers may be at any given time.
So there's going to be there will be those things you're saying. So cameras and GPS.
Well, they all have their choice of either having the camera or the GPS or a 24/7 type of dispatch. The issue regarding dispatch is some of these operations are very small, and so they're not operating on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. So what we're trying to do is ensure that we have what we think are adequate steps, and at the same time recognizing that some of these things that we're requiring are going to have a additional cost to the universities that they will have to factor in. The other thing that we've taken away from these campus safety officers is their ability to do a stop and frisk search of an individual. And these are basically pat-down searches that have been authorized previously. And what we know and what we've heard is that, first of all, even though it may seem like anyone can do it, it is a training that needs to be to deal with how to properly do it. And also, it's very intimidating for individuals to go through that process and we think that it's not necessary for the work that they should be doing, meaning the security officers, to have that authority. And then if it is an issue involving or need involve a sworn police officer, for them to immediately contact their local police authorities or sheriffs to assist in that in those endeavors.
So, Senator Przanski, does SB 576 apply to just public institutions or private colleges rolled in? Is there anybody in higher education in Oregon?
It is, public and private. There are certain requirements on the public side because it is the public sector that is not on the private side, such as the psychological testing. That is one of the things I assume what we figured through our research was that something that we would not have, I guess, the authority to impose on the private institutions.
I wonder if any of the schools that do employ security officers have already made some voluntary changes in the appearance of their officers or their cars or just changed their procedures even before you got to putting Kaylee's law into bill form.
Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone had taken the initiative to do that. I do not remember any testimony coming in. There may have been of some, let's say, beginning intermediate steps that have been taken. We are having two different dates for the effectiveness. Based on the signing of the law, certain things will go into effect immediately, such as the prohibition of the stop and frisk. But at the same time, to make changes in the uniforms, the vehicles, and other employment scenarios, we're giving until January 1, 2020. So they'll have it through the end of this year to make some of those changes, so they'll be able to streamline that into their operations without it being having the inability to use vehicles that may not meet that criteria upon signing of the bill.
Well, so there would be potentially some cost incurred here. If you have to paint vehicles or get different light bars, different uniforms, the whole deal. Has there been any resistance on the basis of cost or anything else from the schools?
There has been some resistance from some of the smaller universities because this is who more than likely will be impacted. Only the University of Oregon and Portland State University actually have sworn police officers. All of the other universities, including OSU, have either contracts with local law enforcement or they only employ the special campus safety officers. In some cases, some of the smaller universities have secured contracts with private security providers to provide some of these services as well.
And I wonder if there's been any resistance in the terms of, you know, when you talk to people involved in law enforcement or even if it's law enforcement for hire, you're talking private security services, they like the darker uniform because it makes them look more authoritative or something.
That's correct. I understand that. But the reality is what we're wanting to ensure is that when the general public comes upon an individual who's representing either law enforcement or a private security, that there is a distinction so individuals know that who they're dealing with and really what the expectations are. And, you know, I feel that, and I think many of my colleagues feel, that it's imperative that we make these distinctions and that for those in the private security positions, they should be able to still do their job. The uniform itself should not be the thing that gets, let's say, compliance with an individual they may be involved with. It's really how do you interact with that person, and if you basically are doing your job, you should be able to have that communication without trying to show some type of means of authoritarianness.
So let's talk about the floor debate or discussion, really, I guess you'd call it, of Senate Bill 576, because this was not a normal day on the Senate floor, was it?
It was not. We had the Sawyers, the Kaylee's father and stepmother were on the floor as we debated the bill and presented the bill for voting. Her mother-in-law sat with me. And, of course, that's always trying for anyone to have a family member who has experienced such a grave horror in their life to actually be, you know, sitting with you. And you can feel the energy that they're taking in from the event. I will say for the Sawyers, myself and Senator Canope were very honored to have them with us on the floor. And also their willingness to actually come forward and make the changes or push for the changes that the state has now passed in the Senate and I expect will be passed in the House in the near future.
So I can imagine that was some interesting energy. Crystal Sawyer sitting near you, Jamie Sawyer sitting with Senator Canope. Passed 29-0. There is a hearing scheduled that I see for Tuesday on the bill in the House Judiciary Committee. Do you plan to be there to testify or anything?
Yes, I will. Myself and Senator Canope will be part of the, I think, the initial panel or panels that will be going forward. And this is it's something that we have done on other legislation that we want to ensure and really express to the House members how important we as the Senate feel that this is. It is one of those situations that's unfortunately very unique. We hope that we never see this type of scenario again. And that's one of the messages that we will be delivering, is that it's important for us to move forward and ensure the most safe and secure situations for youth that are at our campuses. You know, they should not have to be fearing for their own safety and concerned with who that might be dealing with in a campus safety or campus security officer position compared to law enforcement.
Right. They need to know that the people they're dealing with are not, you know, necessarily police in this case. So Senate President Peter Courtney guaranteed that this will pass in the House. Is that a pretty safe guarantee, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's extremely safe. This is one of those situations that, again, we as a legislature, we really do not like needing to deal with these type of issues in a formal setting. But the reality, when these type of cases and facts present themselves, it is our obligation to do that. I feel that the bill will, in fact, pass. I expect it will pass unanimously through the House process, both in the committee as well as on the floor. And there's an assurance already that the governor will, in fact, sign the bill, hopefully sooner than later, so we can take the first steps in protecting our youth and those who are attending our universities.
Senator Przanski, we have about a minute left. We don't get you very often. Can we get just sort of an overview of where things stand on schools and taxes and some of the big-ticket items that are going on in the legislature?
Well, I think the biggest one right now is the revenue package for secure schools that is going forward. It passed the House this last week. I believe it was on Wednesday, if I remember correctly.
Sounds right.
And it's set for a vote on the Senate floor on Tuesday. It will be a order of special business, meaning that it will probably be take to the top, and we will go through that process. It was about a 5.5-hour process for the House to get through that bill because the minority party chose to require the bill to be read in its entirety, which is provided for in the state constitution.
I heard that, but it took 2.5 hours or so, didn't it?
2.5 hours to read 90 pages that really didn't need to happen. So basically, then they went into the debate. So I expect we'll have a similar day on Tuesday, but I also expect that we'll have the same outcome of it passing, bringing $2 billion into our school systems.
All right. We will keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye as well on the Tuesday hearing at the House Judiciary Committee for Kaley's Law, Senate Bill 576, already out of the Senate on a 29-0 vote, carried by Senator Floyd Przanski of Eugene. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeff, thank you very much. Hope you have a wonderful day, too.
All right. Take care.